So this weekend we've been talking about love and the experiences of conventional love and the how to be aware of the elements of love. And I want to talk a little bit about insight into the nature of love, because love is a conditioned experience, phenomena. It is brought into being by causes and conditions, not immediately or consistently or all of them under our control. And when those conditions are present, love appears. And when those conditions dissolve, love disappears. So what is it that we need to know about love from our practice and from insight to understand love more skillfully and to cultivate it more, what, realistically, maybe, in our life? When I say that love is conditioned, I mean to say that love has or displays the three characteristics of all phenomena. It is impermanent. It has the characteristic of dukkha, I'll explain that, and it has the characteristic of being impersonal or conditioned, and I'll try to explain that. It should be pretty clear that love is impermanent, even though we can have long-term committed relationships. In a long-term committed relationship, the love is more an aspiration that we keep returning to. But there are certainly plenty of moments in that long-term relationship when may not be that loving. You know, there are some baggage in there. But if there's the aspiration for this relationship and loving relationship, then that's what you keep working towards. So it's important to understand that when I say that love is impermanent, I'm not saying that long-term relationships aren't possible. I'm just saying that in any moment or in any experience of love, it comes to an end. It comes to its natural end. And it might be, you know, quickly or frequently that love arises and passes away. But it's clear that it's not a steady state that, you know, fall in love, get passionate, fall in love, you know, get married, do your thing, and you just kind of live out this fantasy of, you know, kind of eternal bliss. Right? It's not only me, right? Okay. So both the arising of love in our heart is impermanent, or arises sometimes and sometimes doesn't, and the nature of the beloved, or the one to whom we are loving, that also changes. So we can see that if we arouse the intention, or if we have the aspiration, arouse the intention, make the effort, the best we can do is have a recurring appearance of love with a similar object, you know, the person or the beloved. But even while we do that, that person, that object of our love, that beloved person, is also changing. And so we just need to be realistic about seeing this, that we can't make it happen as steady, as consistently as we might aspire. Now, let's face it. In our love relationships, we like and need, and we don't mind receiving little lies. You know, I'll love you forever. You know, it's always going to be this way. You know, and they're just, it's okay. This is, we're not trying to sustain this love relationship on insight. We're trying to sustain this love relationship on love. and our aspiration and our willingness, and just to understand that we say things when in love that can't withstand the scrutiny of insight. And that's okay. We're not lying. We're just trying to express how the heart feels at that time. Right? You feel like that's the way it'll be. And it's okay to express that. And we also have to practice with insight and realize, well, that's ridiculous. Right? You know, but you don't tell your spouse that. You know, they have their own insight. Because it's not always there. We don't want to set up an expectation in our own mind that we're going to be disappointed by. It's better to be realistic. But, you know, when it's time for pillow talk, say what you got to say. Do what you got to do. And do your practice. Because, as Mary Oliver wrote in her poem In Blackwater Woods, as I read yesterday, I think, in an excerpt, she says, "To live in this world, you must be able to do three things. To love what is mortal. To hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it. And when the time comes to let it go, to let it go. That which is mortal is impermanent. That which loves is also impermanent. So to live in this world, we must be able to love impermanently what is also impermanent. It doesn't mean that love isn't real. It is, as my great mentor, Jerry, love that's real will not fade away. Okay. The other second characteristic of love, momentary love or long-term love, is that it does display the character, or it has the characteristic of dukkha. Love itself is not painful. That's one form of dukkha, pain. But love has its flip side. To the extent that we love, we can sometimes feel possessive. We can fear the loss of the loved one. We can fear abandonment. We feel jealous. We feel like our needs aren't being met. And there's a lot of pain that comes with love. Love without expectation is really difficult, if not impossible, in the real world, in the world of real relationships. It just, you know, all you have to do is something two or three times, and it sets up a pattern of expectation in the mind. So can we recognize this in our domestic and other love relationships and accommodate the fact that there are going to be expectations and there's going to be disappointment? There is going to be this experience of pain in our love relationships. Another experience or another characteristic or another way of experiencing the dukkha characteristic is that because things change unavoidably and we can't make them stay permanent, love itself changes. The experience of love changes, and we can't stop that. That's, you know, as much as we might want to, in the heat of our, you know, passionate falling in love, we want it to last forever. And we imagine, it's not even we imagine, nobody imagines it realistically, but it feels like this love is going to last forever. It is just eternal. And it's almost as if love needs that possibility. How can you fall in love when you say, "Ah, I love you so much this week"? you know, it's like, it doesn't work that way. It's like, "I love you so much," because it's going to be forever. And that's okay. That's okay to say, "I love you so much, I will forever." And do your practice and keep that in check. Because you can't make it happen. It changes out from underneath you. we don't have that kind of control over the mind, over our own heart. It's just not possible. So we need to be realistic about that. It doesn't mean that we should not try to love another real human being in this lifetime. Of course, we can and we should. You know, that's all of us. None of us here are monks and nuns, so this is our practice. And then the third characteristic of dukkha, the third way we experience the characteristic of dukkha, is that even with all of the sensual gratification, the emotional gratification, the cognitive appreciation we have for the other in a love relationship, is not enough. It's not enough. It never is. And there's some level of just being dissatisfied, just unsatisfied with, you know. So I gave this talk in Sacramento. Okay. At this age, we all need new batteries. So for those of you who are listening to the tape, we're having batteries replaced in the loudspeaker. Better? Okay. It's going to pass away soon, I can tell. Yeah. Anyway, so when you look at the gratification in you know our love relationships, whether it's the pleasure or the bliss or the contentment or the satisfaction with the other, physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is, what is enough? As I asked in Sacramento, and the recorder said, "Do you want me to edit this out? How many times do you have to make love, have sex, in this lifetime to be fulfilled?" There's no limit. You know, you can't get enough. You know what I mean? You just can't. It's like there's always the need is always there, the wish or whatever is always there, and it's unsatisfactory that you can't reach the end of that need through behavior, acting it up. It's just, that's just the reality. And through awareness, we can come to that understanding. The understanding that this is the way it is liberating. But until we do our practice, until we've seen for ourselves this is the way it is, we might harbor fantasies that somehow it could be different. And so we need insight into love, into our love relationships and into the nature of love in order to love realistically. So I read a piece of the poem yesterday. I think I read the whole poem, To Hold by Lee Young Lee, where in excerpt he says, "So we're dust. One day we'll lie down and not get up. One day all that we guard will be surrendered. So often fear has led me to abandon what I know I must relinquish in time. But for the moment, we live a joint and fragile keeping." So even though we know, it's just not possible. You know, in the end, we have to let it all go. We have to give it up. We have to just release it. In the meantime, we'll do what we can to hold it together, to know what it is that we love and share what we love with the other and do the best we can with what is forever changing. And the third characteristic of insight that we gain through practice into the nature of love is that you can't control it. As I said yesterday, you know, love is a fire. And whether it's going to warm your heart or burn down your house, you can't tell. You know, it may do both. But there's no guarantee. You know, we can't make it happen when we want to. We can't stop it from going away when we don't want it to. It arises due to conditions which sometimes just seem mysterious and beyond us, magical even, and yet it has the characteristic of not being under our control. We can train the mind to be more loving, but even then, that too is a recurring love, moment of love, rather than a permanent and steady state. And so, can we acknowledge that from our own insight, that it's just not possible to control love in our hearts and minds the way we'd like to? Just ask your partner. It's not possible. Or your kids. It's not possible. And to live in ignorance of that truth or that knowledge is going to cause more suffering in our love relationships. It doesn't really reduce the suffering in our love relationships, but it kind of removes some of the unrealistic expectations that somehow I should be able to control it, or you should be able to control it. It's not. It's not realistic. And so when Brian Andreas comments of someone that she said, it took me a long time to stop confusing safety and love, we have to ask ourselves, is there any safety in love, in loving? Is there any security in loving? And while we may, and we do need a safe bond, we need to feel safe with another to open, to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to respond to the vulnerability of the other. You know, we need to feel safe, like we're not going to be harmed, we're not going to be abused, we're not going to be mistreated. Nevertheless, when you lay your heart out there for the other person to accept or not, you don't know. You don't know what they're going to do with it. You know, they may try to respond out of their understanding of love, and it feels abusive to you. It's just like not what you expect. And yet, without allowing yourself that vulnerability and the willingness to just lay it out there, whether you express your love or you demonstrate your love, however you do that, and without doing that, you'll never know. You'll never know. Fear of the pain of that we've experienced in previous love relationships gone bad is a great crippler of young lovers, you know, or old lovers. But the heart has a way of keep yearning for, you know, a true love relationship, you know, however, whatever we can imagine of that. So to think that I'm going to get into this nice, safe relationship, nice, safe, loving relationship is unrealistic. Unrealistic. If it's that safe, it's kind of bound up and tight and expectations are galore with agreements and negotiated whatever, and it's just like, and even then, it's not safe. It's not safe. You know, you can make as sincere a commitment as you want, and the other person can too, and things change. Things change. Unavoidably. And so when you're aware of that, how can you feel safe? On the other hand, real love, where in the moment you're willing to and able to open to this is the way it is, and you have the courage to acknowledge it, and the confidence that you'll be able to respond rather than get caught in some reaction, that may be the only safety that there is in love. That you trust yourself to love and to come back and try it again, again and again. And no matter how many times you're disappointed in love, or how many times you don't get your needs met, or how many times you get frustrated, or whatever, If you stop now, what can be gained? And so we keep trying. And that is really the aspiration. We should say love is really an aspiration that allows us to engage the present moment in life. And maybe we'll get some love in return, maybe not, but at least we're making the effort. And that's what's important. Because if you aspire to and you make the effort, you can be loving. And nobody can stop you. Yeah? And hopefully your expectations and your fears and other things can be put aside temporarily so you can recognize that in yourself. So sometimes love is a real leap off of what we hope is not the deep end. It might be, but if you don't take the risk, you don't get the reward.